In our text tonight, Jesus is getting ready to go for the reason for whence he came. And that is to die on the cross, to head up to Jerusalem, to be taken from the hands of sinful men and crucified, and praise God, to raise again on the third day. Amen. And as he comes, he gives his disciples the lesson of the fig tree. And that fig tree that should have had fruit on it. It was the time when figs, and he said, he cursed it and said that you'll bear fruit no more. And again, I appreciate Pastor Mark last week talking about that a little bit. And it speaks of Israel that had leaves, that had all the signs that go along with fruit, but didn't have any fruit. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, may God impress upon our hearts that one day God is going to ask us, did we bear fruit? If you read John chapter 15, verse 16, you'll find that is the reason he saved us. He didn't, praise God, a byproduct is we'll never sniff hell, and all God's people said. But he saved us to bear fruit for his name. Amen. That's why he saved us. And so we're to constantly be seeking in our lives to purge those branches in our lives that hinder fruit bearing. Amen. And just say, ask ourselves a tough question. Look ourselves in the mirror. And if you're like me, get over getting scared after you look in the mirror. And then say, am I bearing fruit? Am I sowing seeds? Amen. And so this fig tree here that didn't bear any fruit, Jesus cursed it. And it's amazing because you see later on in the chapter that they, Miss Robin, they walk by and they were amazed that right away it was cursed. It was all dried up. Amen. But then, of course, he goes into the temple and he chases out the money changers again, those that were overcharging for temple sacrifices. And he says, look, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, that this place is a place of prayer. Amen. Brother Hani, I appreciate you mentioning that. We have men's prayer. When we have Loomis Ladies, a time of prayer. We have Wednesday night. We take time and pray. There'll be times, ladies and gentlemen, serious needs where we may call for corporate prayer. I think of times before, 48 hours before revival meetings, that we'd have everybody take 15-minute slots and we would pray. Why? Because, listen, nothing eternal is ever done without prayer. Nothing. And so Jesus here says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And then as they pass by the fig tree, they see it's dried up. And Peter says, wow, you know, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, and it's really our text verse tonight. He says this, have faith in God. It's God that did that. It's God that withered that fig tree. So immediately. And then he goes on and he says there in verse 23, verses that we know and have read and probably sometimes have confused us a little bit. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now listen, sometimes we read this and we see mountains, and I kind of joked in Sunday school this morning. I said, I think the last time that happened was Mount St. Helens. Anybody remember Mount St. Helens? I remember that being just a little kid. I think I was 8 years old. And Brother Mark, they showed these time-lapse pictures of it, and you saw Mount St. Helens, and all of a sudden, half of the mountain was gone. It was just gone. And sometimes we look at that and we say, well, I don't know anybody who's moving mountains with their prayers. Come on, help me, church, amen. I don't know anybody who's literally taking mountains and moving them from one place to another. And we get confused about what Jesus is saying here, okay? First of all, I want you to notice something. Verse 22, 8 points about faith, our faith. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? It starts with Jesus Christ. It's going to end with Jesus Christ. And every part in the middle, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we see something. It's an all-knowing faith. Verse 22 says, Jesus answering them saith, have faith in God. I want you to go with me in your Bibles a little bit tonight. Let's do a little bit of traveling. Hold your place there in Mark. We're coming back. But go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I went too far. Left turn. Ephesians. There's Galatians. Hallelujah. Right where I left it. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, there's a phrase here I want you to notice, and it's sometimes a phrase that can slip by in this amazing verse, which is what I call a preaching verse, this verse is. It says, I am crucified with Christ. That'll preach right there, amen. Nevertheless, I live. That'll preach right there. Yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. That'll preach right there. And the life which I now live, I live by what? Not just faith, the faith of the Son of God. That's very important, ladies and gentlemen. Our faith is an all-knowing faith in that this, our faith is not something we just made up as we go. It's the faith of God. It's the faith of God. Jude calls it the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints here in this book. Let me just say a few things about this all-knowing faith. It is a gift from God. Romans 12:3 says that God hath appointed unto every man the measure of faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just can't get saved? I just don't have enough faith to get saved. Do you know that's a lie? They don't know it's a lie. Satan has convinced them that they don't have enough faith. But God says, look, I've appointed every man the measure of faith. There's enough, forgive me, there's enough faith in all of us to fill that donut hole that the kids were singing about. Amen. There's enough, just that seedling of faith that God gives us. I remember witnessing to a man, a fellow I work with. Oh my goodness, we had so much fun at work. You'd think we shouldn't even have got paid. We were having so much fun, Brother Bill. And I love that man. Still love him today. I can see him. And we were talking one day, and I said, hey, could I come over and could I share something with you? And the Lord just worked it out. It was one of the only times in that particular job I had before I came here where Brother Becker, God worked out all the details, and I went to his apartment in Enfield, Connecticut. And we just sat down, and I think he had something that I used to drink, and I had a Coke. Amen. And by the, so, oh, I never would have done that. Well, that's up to you, amen. I was trying to reach the guy for Christ, amen. And so we sat there, and I, as I so often do, Mr. Perry, I use the illustration of baseball. In baseball, you got to touch all the bases, and the idea of baseball is to come home. That's what it is. And home plate looks like a little home with its little peaked roof and all that. And I remember talking to him. I said, you know, first base is we're all sinners. And second base is we owed payment for sin. And third base is Jesus Christ made our payment for sin. And come home is just simply this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I remember Brother Jeff, I said, you're on third base. Just imagine you're on third base, and the Lord Jesus has whacked it out of the park. It's gone. It's a walk-off homer, and he's trotting around the bases, and he's right behind you. And he said, what do you got to do? And he said, I just got to come home. But Brother Bill, he didn't. I wish I could say he did, but he didn't. I said, you mean to tell me if you were in a real baseball game, Brother Bryce, that if someone behind you hit a walk-off home run, that you would stand on third because you couldn't walk home? I said, the truth is, if you had a broken leg, you'd crawl home to end the game. And he said, I remember just talking about this, I just don't have enough faith. And I've never had that happen before where somebody's just left on third base, Brother Stark. As far as I know, he's still on third base. I don't know. Maybe between now and then he's gotten saved. But listen, this faith, this all-knowing faith, it is a gift from God. It's again, according to Galatians 3:20, it says, the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. A gift from God, amen. So it starts at salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it starts at salvation, this all-knowing faith, this faith of God that we have. It's a gift from God. It starts at salvation. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is point number one and subpoints. I wish Brother Hendershot was here. I'd really give him the business about this message tonight. And, 2 Peter chapter 1. You always love my 13-point messages and love to tell me about them. Amen. And he actually listened to them, Pastor Mark. Praise God. Amen. It's an all-knowing faith. It's God's faith. Amen. It's a gift from God. It starts with salvation. Here's something. Our faith, this all-knowing faith in our lives increases by exercise. It increases by exercise. Faith doesn't, like anything else in this world, it doesn't just grow on its own. It has to be cultivated. It has to be cultivated. And so you see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's this book that you and I are looking at right now, amen. That by these, that's this book, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. So what do we see here, Pastor? We see that our faith, that was once a gift from God and an infant faith at salvation, it grows as we exercise faith. As we step out, if we could say, in faith in our lives, God grows that and God strengthens that. We get stronger. We become stronger Christians, stronger believers. Brother Swoffer, stronger in the faith. In the faith, we become stronger. So it increases. And then go to Romans chapter 10. I know you know this verse, amen. I know you know this verse. Romans chapter 10. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, and boy, I've said that, but also I'll keep saying it, is be in Sunday school. I know this is a Sunday night crowd. I think most of you are in Sunday school. Pastor Mark's got a great class going, and we're just having a ball in our class. We really are. Just taking the time. We're talking about memorizing Scripture today and how important that is, and it's just a process of you know, just repetition, memorize it. And here the Bible says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, this faith, this all-knowing faith we're looking at, it's a gift from God. It starts at salvation. It increases by exercise. We find that it is nourished. Our faith is nourished by God's Word. Nourished by God's Word. It says there, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Word of God. We're so blessed in our church to have babies. Amen. I feel bad for churches where there's no babies. It's just, you know, I feel bad for nursery workers where there's no babies. Amen. You just sit there and look at each other. Amen. Well, you got, I'm telling you, we got a little Connor, and I can't wait to meet little Solomon. Amen. And Remington is here, and we got, of course, Brady with his hair everywhere. Hallelujah. And TJ, and we got the Hazel Schwartz back there, little Essie. She was awesome yesterday out at the sowing seeds. I said, just dress that child up in a cheerleader outfit and have her hand out tracks. We'll get rid of 2,500 in about 5 minutes. Amen. It's a blessing to have babies. You know what? Babies are a perfect example of the nourishment of milk. They need milk. And I look around, I see some of them, and I think, you've had enough. Amen. I remember, I think they had to slip out, but I remember Carly Gilbert. She was legendary in that nursery. I think she still holds the record, Miss Mary, for the largest thigh of any nursery baby. Amen. Just more rolls than the bakery. Glory to God. Amen. And you could tell that she was well nourished on milk. What does it say in 1 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. When people tell me at points, and many times it's crisis points, Brother Jack, they'll say, I feel like my faith is so small. Almost always my first question is, tell me about your Bible reading this week. Now, I'm not being mean. Sometimes, meanwhile, they say, I've been reading my Bible. I read five chapters today and five chapters, and that's fine. And then we can move on. But sometimes it's as simple as, Brother Fitch, now I haven't been reading my Bible very much. I said, well, you're not going to grow like God wants you to in this all-knowing faith if you're not nourishing your faith by the Word of God. A baby that doesn't eat isn't going to grow. Just as simple as that, amen. And so, first of all, tonight, it's an all-knowing faith. That's point number one, and it's the longest point. After this, they get easy. Secondly, go back to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. It's an all-knowing faith, which is a gift from God. It starts at salvation. It increases by exercise. It's nourished by God's Word. Secondly, this important part of it, in verse number 24, it says, therefore I say unto you that what's the next word, church? Desire when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Something else I see about this faith is it's a desiring faith. It's a desiring faith that we're talking about our desires when we pray. Are we praying for ease? And are we praying for the Lamborghini, and are we praying for, you understand what I'm trying to say here? Or are we praying for things that God would have us to pray for? I know this, there are certain things I can pray for that I know are absolutely the will of God. I pray for souls to be saved. That's the will of God. How do you know, Pastor? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so this idea of a desiring faith is aligning our desires with God's desires. Whatsoever things you desire in faith. I just want to move the mountain so everyone will see that I move the mountain. No. That's pride. Amen. That's pride. I think about the abilities that God has given me, the opportunities that God has given me to preach. And Brother Horsch, I don't want to preach a great message somewhere just so people will come and pat me and say, that was a great message. I don't want that's pride. That's pride. I like to preach a great message because the Holy Spirit will help me and He'll help you in that message. Desiring. So it's a desiring faith. It's an all-knowing faith. Something else we see, number three. Oh boy, here's where it gets personal. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Again, it is not talking about here that if you don't forgive, you're not saved. But I'm going to tell you about this faith that we have from Jesus Christ. It's an all-knowing faith. It's a desiring faith. It's a forgiving faith. It's a forgiving faith. See, ladies and gentlemen, we have the only founder of our faith who said in His dying moments to those that put Him to death, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the beloved Apostle Paul twice would tell us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, he would say this, that if any have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so do also ye. No wiggle room at all, Miss Judy. He says, as long as Christ is still forgiving you, then you are commanded to forgive those that have trespassed against you. And then in Ephesians, he would say, and be kind one to another. Well, we could use a little bit more of that, amen? Tender-hearted. I love tender-hearted people. You know, the term dear heart was a pejorative term of folks that were simple. I'm going to tell you something about dear-hearted people. I think God loves them. Yes. Amen. We could all be a little bit more tender-hearted. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, don't tell me about your great faith if you have aught against a brother or sister. Because you don't have great faith. You got tiny faith. Listen, our faith is a forgiving faith. You say, you've been wronged, Pastor? More than you know. More than you know. And you know what? I cannot walk around with a bitter, unforgiving spirit and expect God to bless me, to bless my family, and to bless this church. Can't do it. And you can't either. Amen. This mountain-moving faith, it's an all-knowing faith, it's a desiring faith, it's a forgiving faith. I love this. Matthew chapter 7, familiar passage, number 4. 4 out of 8 here, we're doing good. Matthew chapter 7, familiar passage, Sermon on the Mount. All-knowing faith, desiring faith, forgiving faith. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know what I see here? It's an asking faith. It's an asking faith. Sometimes, I don't know about you, in your prayers, and I just know me and how, I remember Dr. Malone, years ago, Dr. Malone was just such a blessing in my life and just such a mentor to so many people. Brother Hani, I know you as well. And we forgive me, and I don't mean this in any sort of name. We loved that old man. We really did. We loved that old man of God. He was so precious to us. And somebody asked him late in his life, they said, Dr. Malone, what's been your biggest struggle in the ministry? And Dr. Malone, Brother Swoffers, and I still can't believe he said this, but the older I get, it makes more sense. He said, my failure in prayer. My failure in prayer. And I thought, oh, Lord, me too. Me too. Sometimes we think, listen, God's all-knowing, is He not? Yes. Then He knows what I need. So why should I ask? Don't anybody else think like that? I sure do, amen. Yeah. I think it's a pattern of thinking. I think there is a prince in power of the air that influences thought. You know why we should ask? Because He said to. Just ask. You say, what if He says no? Then He says no. Then He's got a good reason for saying no. But if we don't, ye have not because ye ask not. Amen. So it's an asking faith. It's an asking faith, this mountain-moving faith that we're talking about tonight. All right, here's something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Oh, we got two spots here. So when you get to Matthew chapter 15, hold your place there, and then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 first. So Matthew chapter 15, hold off, and then go to Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll come back to Matthew chapter 15. There's kind of a two-part to this. Philippians chapter 2. I love messages. I remember messages like these early in my Christian life where we used our Bible a lot, and I was a new Christian, Brother Bryce, and I had to go and go to the front and find out where the book of Philippians was, amen, and find that. And the book of Job, that was one of my favorites, the book of Job, amen. And we'd go and find those, and you know, you praise God, you grow, you move your Bible, you mark your Bible, and you remember messages like these, I hope, anyway. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, look at it with me. Fifthly tonight, this mountain-moving faith is a willing faith. It's a willing faith. And it says there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So our faith has to do with God's will, first and foremost. It says here that, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Okay? But then let's go back to Matthew chapter 15. You have one of the great stories in the Bible here, the story of the Syrophoenician woman. It's amazing. If you'll look back in your Bible, there are only two people in the Gospels that Jesus had great faith, and neither one of them was a Jew. One of them was a Syrophoenician, a Greek woman, and the other one was a Roman. We remember the story of the man with the sick servant, the Roman soldier whose servant was sick. And Jesus said to him, He said, look, I'm not even willing that you shouldn't even have to come into my house. And he was giving Jesus reverence, and he said, oh, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. But here's the other story here that God gives us, this Syrophoenician woman. And you remember she had come to Jesus, and we could kind of say that Jesus, he kind of gave her the brush. He wasn't speaking to her, and that just wasn't going to cut it for this woman. She just kept coming, amen. And said, verse 22, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And again, don't let that throw you. Jesus was only sent to the Jews. Listen, Romans chapter 1 clears it up. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Us Gentiles got in too, amen? But he was sent to his people first. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. John 1 tells us, okay? So said, "But he answered not, said, I am sent not to the lost sheep, but of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou what? Wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." See, this mountain-moving faith, it's an all-knowing faith, it's a desiring faith, it's a forgiving faith, it's an asking faith, it's a willing faith. God has His willing part, and we have our willing part in our faith. What did He say to her? "As thou wilt, be it unto thee." Remember that story where Jesus healed the blind man and said, as thou wilt, be thou made whole. I think if it was some of us, we'd maybe still have one eye closed. You know, because we have some faith, but are we willing to truly trust Jesus? She was willing to say, "Look, it's you and it's you alone. You're the only one that can do it." And he said, "Be it as thou wilt." We have a part in our faith, amen? Our willingness as we grow, as we develop in the faith. So it's a willing faith. Here's something, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, towards the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 14, 1 John 5, 14. This is a governing principle of prayer, really, but also in regards to our faith. You go back in verse 12, tells us that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. See, what do you see here, Pastor? I see a submitting faith. A submitting faith. Let me ask a very personal question tonight. Have you ever wanted something from God and didn't get it? Come on now, help me. Yeah. I have. Yeah. I have. I know I have. I've asked God for some things and He chose not to give them to me. Now He's God. He can do whatever He wants. Amen. He doesn't need me to say that He can do whatever He wants to do whatever He wants. Amen. He can do it. A submitting faith says, "Look, God, I want this person healed." Let's just start there. Let's start there. I think every one of us has been there. We've had somebody in our life that was sick that we asked for them to be healed. Yes, sir. And as far as I know, everybody still dies. Correct? Correct? So somebody in your life, you asked for them, said, "Please be healed," and they weren't. Jesus Christ, and we mentioned this in Sunday school today, amazing how all this stuff weaves together. Jesus Christ set the pattern of what we would call submitting faith. He said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, with the sins of the world placed upon him, sweating great drops of blood, said, "If thou be willing, God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Again, I think it's right to pray for people to be healed. I think it's right, Brother Hani. I think it's right to ask God. It goes back to the point, you have not because you ask not. It's not wrong to ask for somebody to be healed, but sometimes God says, "I've got a bigger plan." Imagine if people, listen, good people, people that love Jesus had prayed, Brother Jeff, "Please help him come off the cross. He's hurting up there. He's suffering. Please help him come off the cross." Imagine if he did. God's will was he would stay on that cross, and we're about to celebrate that at the end of this service here. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our faith, our mountain moving faith is a submitting faith. It's a submitting faith. It says, look, yes, I want my relative healed. I want my loved one healed. And I'm going to ask, but I'm going to leave it in your will. I know you can heal. I've heard that before. I call it bumper sticker Christianity. Faith is not knowing that God can. It's knowing that God will. That's bumper sticker Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I don't pretend to know the will of God. I know some things that he put in his word are his will. He's not willing that any should perish. Absolutely the will of God. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know it's the will of God for me to be grateful. And there are other things. Pray without ceasing. That's the will of God. Amen. But this idea that I know that God is going to heal this person, he's not going to heal, I don't know that. So I'm going to submit in my faith and say, God, you know my heart. I would love for this person to be healed. I promise I'll give you the glory. I'll tell everybody about it, that you healed them. Amen. But if not, we trust you. We trust you. And we submit to your will. So it's a submitting faith. It's a willing faith. It's an asking faith. It's a forgiving faith. It's a desiring faith. It's an all-knowing faith. Lastly, back in our text, verse 24 of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Really, verse 22 and 24, it says there. Verse 22 says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray," what's the next word, church?
Believe.
It sounds kind of redundant, but it's a believing faith. It's a believing. We believe God. Isn't that what Paul said? As the ship was getting dashed on the rocks, and he had been, Pastor Mark, it says, a long abstinence. He'd been meeting with God. And the angel said, "Look, be of good cheer. None of you is going to lose your life." He said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Our faith is a believing faith. Hey, it has its basis right here in the Word of God. I've been hammering that in our Sunday school class, and it's so important. The devil strives so hard to get us to doubt this book, And listen to me, settle yourself on this, that this is the Word of God, and I can trust it. I can base my not only my eternity, but my life on this book. It's a believing faith. We believe God. We believe. Pastor Russ sang that great song when he was here. We believe. We believe. Amen. So let me give you the application, and we'll be done tonight. Application is simply this. In our mountain-moving faith, we can have mountain-moving faith. From our part, it takes yielding to God. We need to yield ourselves to God, yield our will to God. We need to confess our sins to God. We need to repent. Listen, if there are things that are bothering you, you need to get those things out of your life. You make yourself accountable to somebody that can help you. Not somebody that's going to say and be a tattletale and say, ho, ho, ho. Somebody that can say, look, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. Or look, Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, I'm struggling with this. I need you to pray for me. confessing sin, repenting of sin, avoiding evil. That would help us to not confess sin and repent of sin if we would avoid evil. Amen. Feeding on God's word, seeking God's glory, loving God. Amen. Loving God supremely. We can have mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's an all-knowing faith. And that is this, it's the faith of God. It's God's faith. Amen. It starts with a gift from Him and starts with salvation, increases by exercise, it's nourished by God's word. But then it's a desiring faith, aligning our desires with God's desires. Forgiving faith. It's a forgiving faith. It's an asking faith. It's a willing faith. It's a submitting faith. And it's a believing faith. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I think that there's a lot of spiritual mountain movers right here in this congregation. Amen? We're not moving physical mountains, but spiritually asking for things and saying, God, would you please work, and knowing that He will, believing Him. Amen. Father, thank you so much.